Radio Beograd 2.
Klub 2. Dobar dan, poštovani slušalci, ja sam Nevena Matović, želim vam dobrodošlicu u današnje izdanje Kluba 2 koje se emituje iz centra Sava, gde je u toku 46. fest, za koji minut će početi konferencija za novinare, na kojoj će se između ostalih predstaviti i autor filma Jupiterov mesec, Kornel Mundruco, koga ćemo sigurno čuti danas u kulturnim krugovima, a ja sa velikim zadovoljstvom pozdravljam Rutgera Zuhlanda, nemačkog reditelja, autora filma Hitlerov Hollywood. Moj današnji gost nije samo reditelj dokumentarnog filma Hitlerov Hollywood, on je i novinar, filmski kritičar i evo sada čujem i radi i radio emisije, radi kao radio voditelj i u ovom trenutku on na svom Sonyju snima naš razgovor kako bi bio u toku sa onim što je govorio. Welcome to our broadcast.
Hello, nice to meet you and to be here.
Pozdravili smo se, on je rekao da je, da mu je drago da je ovde. I will start with that situation in which you are now. This is nothing, something unusual for you. Počet ću s ovom situacijom u kojoj se trenutno nalazite, vi nije ovo nešto neobično za vas.
No, of course, I'm a critic in Germany and I do radio myself, so I'm working as well for the, like, Radio Belgrade is the national radio of Serbia. It is, I work for Deutschlandfunk, which is the national radio of Germany, and I'm doing the same like you, speak with directors, sometimes with critics, and of course review films on festivals and those films which come out. That's my profession.
Da, upravo smo čuli da moj današnji i vaš današnji gost, Rutger Zuhlanda, zapravo radi ono što i mi radimo na Radio Beogradu 2, s obzirom da radi na nacionalnom radiju, kakav je i ovaj naš, da piše kritike, da razgovara sa rediteljima i da se vrlo često nalazi u situacijama u kojima se evo i sada nalazi. Selector of this program in which was shown your film, said that we must see this film because it's made by German, about Germany, about a very hard period of German history, and it's talking about art. Selektor ovog programa nam je preporučio Hitlerov Hollywood pre svega zbog toga što je to nemački film, rađen od strane Nemca, bavi se vrlo teškom periodom nemačke istorije, ali govori o umetnosti.
Well, first of all, I'm very happy to be here in Belgrade for two reasons. One reason for sure is the past. I'm quite aware about the, let's say, difficult, but that's a modest word, the difficult history between Yugoslavia and Germany and then Serbia and Germany. Of course, it starts latest with the First World War and it does not finish with the NATO bombing of the 90s.
Dakle, pre svega zbog istorije, odnosno istorijskih činjenica, mi je drago što sam u Beogradu, jer odnosi Nemačke i Srbije, ti problematični, sežu još u Prvi svetski rat, nastavljaju se Drugim svetskim ratom i nikako se ne završavaju zapravo NATO bombardovanja Srbije, nego se, nažalost, i nastavljaju nekako.
The second reason why I'm quite happy to be here is that my film is shown in the program Borders would be the translation, and it's they show films which are kind of crossing borders. And I would absolutely agree that my film is doing this. One border is the borders of or the limits of documentary cinema, because my film is in a way a documentary on German films through the Nazi era, but it is an essay film. I'm speaking myself and there are no talking heads, no testimonies, old actresses talking how they were in bed with Goebbels or some cheesy stuff, which I could have done. They still live, some of them, but I wanted to do something different.
We will talk about that. Sada ću prevesti ovo što je Rutger rekao. Dakle, drugi razlog zbog koga se raduje što je film prikazan u Beogradu je taj što je prikazan u programu festa koji se zove Granice, jer ovaj film na dva načina prelazi granice. Prva je ta što to zapravo druga je ta što u njemu nema talking heads, kako se kaže, nema znači glava koje pričaju, odnosno to nije dokumentarac u kome bi te, kako se zovu, žene koje su bile recimo ljubavnice Gebelsa pričale o tom svojim doživljajima u krevetu, već je to film koji prelazi granice jer je to jedan dokumentarni esej koji zapravo govori o nekakvim graničnim situacijama u kojima se nalazila nemačka kinematografija u tom teškom periodu.
Of course, the border, another border my film is crossing, is the border between politics and art. That was what you were referring to. Because, obviously, the Nazi period is the most terrible period of German history and, in a way, of the history of Europe. And in the same moment when we consider that, we have to consider and to see that it was a period of great art, not just the avant-garde art of the modernists in Western and some Eastern countries. I was just about some minutes ago in the Museum of Contemporary Art in Belgrade and saw your tradition of Belgrade Surrealism, for instance, great works, I have to admit, and we can see that it was a period of marvelous art. Art, in my personal opinion, in a way better than today. And in Germany, it was a different thing.
Dakle, ono što je jedna, još jedna granica bitna koju moj film prelazi je granica između politika i umetnosti, jer u tom najcrnjem periodu u nemačke istorije, u periodu nacizma, nastajala su umetnička dela koje su zapravo odgovarala pravcima koji su u to vreme nastali i to je naravno period koji je prisutan i ovde kod nas, dakle govorimo o nekoj avangardi, govorimo i o tome da je naš gost upravo došao iz Muzeja savremene umetnosti i imao prilike da se uvori u to i da i mi imamo, kao što znamo, jaku tradiciju sa ovim periodom, odnosno umetnošću ovog perioda.
The films of Nazi Germany are in a way quite modern. Some of the filmmakers, many of the actors, not so many directors, but some quite famous directors, and as well all the technical stuff, like cinematographers, for instance, the montage people and so on, production designers, they are coming from the Weimar Republic period, the period of the First German Republic, which was an age of huge modernism and modernization. It was the most liberal time in German history, and it all collapsed in the January 1933 when Hitler came to power, and so as well this cinema collapsed, but in the ruins of that cinema the Nazis started to do their cinema, a kind of alternative Hollywood.
Ono što je zanimljivo je i to da je većina ljudi koji su zapravo učestvovali u nastanku filmova koje je kasnije nacistička Nemačka stvarala, zapravo počela da radi u Vajmarskoj republici u kojoj su radili svi ti ljudi, možda ne svi režiseri, ali i tehničko osoblje, glumci i mnogi ljudi koji rade na filmu, tako da su Vajmarska republika je, kao što znamo, pala 1943. godine dolaskom Hitlera na vlast, srušila se i ta industrija, ali narušili nam upravo te vajmarske industrije je nikla ta nova filmska industrija Nemačke koju su oni zapravo zvali nemačkim Hollywoodom.
It is, I say, an alternative Hollywood because the regime of the Nazis, for sure they wanted to do propaganda films. But propaganda is a difficult thing. Propaganda is not just political propaganda, it can as well mean cultural imperialism. And with the word imperialism, I'm pointing out that those films were made for the German audience, but as well for the audience of foreign countries. Until the beginning of the Second World War, it were films to be sold, even to America, to be shown, let's say, the German way of life, alternative to American way of life, and as well they wanted to earn money, so it was a big star cinema. And then after the beginning of the war, it was a cinema in the occupied territories to replace the national cinema, let's say in France and Netherlands. I'm not sure how it was in Belgrade and in Yugoslavia. I think as well many German films were shown during the period of occupation there in those countries, and as well in in Germany, it was a cinema which should, in a way, show the an idealized version, sometimes an utopian version, of the virtues of National Socialism and their own understanding, of course.
Dakle, taj nemački Hollywood koji u stvari neki alternativni Hollywood u odnosu na američki Hollywood, bio je zapravo pokrenut sa ciljem da se vrši propaganda, ali ne samo politička propaganda, već i propaganda na polju kulture, iz prostog razloga što je trebalo prezentovati i nemački način života. Ti filmovi nisu bili namenjeni samo nemačkom tržištu, već su bili prodavani čak, znači zarađivali su i novac Amerikancima kako bi se prikazao opet nemački način življenja, znači German way of life kao američki way of life, odnosno način života, a prikazivani su i u bioskopima recimo okupiranih gradova, sigurno u Francuskoj, a i u Srbiji, u Beogradu.
In a way, those films were propaganda films, as I said, but as far as I can say, they were different propaganda than the Soviet propaganda, for instance. First of all, they were not modernist art. Many Soviet films were, we know Eisenstein, for example, or Giga Vertov, were modernist art. As well, they were, in a way, the German films were more traditional in the look, but as well they were kind of hiding the truth of the system. Of course, the Soviet films as well did it, but let's say in Soviet films you see the virtues of communism, the so-called. Yeah, you always see some good communist people who are proud to be communist. In the Nazi films, you very rarely see good German fascist people who are proud to be fascist. That is one big difference. Another big difference is that Stalin will be he is as an actor, sometimes as a real person in documentary footage, part of the Soviet cinema. In the Nazi cinema, in fictional Nazi films, you never see Hitler. There's not one film where you see Hitler, as if Hitler was kind of a god. He was somewhere in heaven, but he was not a human being of fresh and blood, and that we know he was not married, he had no children, so he was kind of an imaginary character. Stalin was a human person, flesh and blood. He was married, he had children, maybe he was a bad father, but at least he was a father.
I voleo bih u ovom trenutku da uporedim recimo američki i sovjetski propagandni film tog perioda. Nemački i sovjetski propagandni film u tom periodu, zbog toga što postoji bitna razlika. Tu jeste bila komunistička propaganda, prisutna propaganda i u jednom i u drugom filmu, odnosno u kinematografiji, s tim što je kod Rusa uvek mogao da se pronađe jedan pozitivan karakter komunista koji je negde na strani tih pozitivnih junaka filmskih, dok se u nemačkim filmovima toga perioda ne može naći ili retko se može naći pozitivan, znači neki simpatičan negativac, odnosno pripadnik nacističke populacije. Sa druge strane, ono što je takođe bitno, u ruskim propagandnim filmovima, koji su pre svega remek dela, pomenuo Eisensteina i Zigu Vertova, nemački nisu težili da budu tako umetnička dela, krili su stvarnost, a sa druge strane vrlo bitna dva lika iz istorije toga perioda, Hitler i Stalin, u ruskim se pojavljuje Stalin od krvi i mesa, Hitler kao više neka vrsta božanstva, što je i tačno realno s obzirom na to da Hitler nije bio oženjen i imao dece, a Stalin je bio čovek od krvi i mesa koji je imao dece, možda je bio loš otac, ali je bio otac. Tako da je to bitna razlika između nemačkog i ruskog filma, odnosno propagande toga perioda.
So the propaganda films of the Nazis, they are in fact quite often so-called non-political films. They are entertainment cinema, and certain genres the Nazis loved, like musicals, like melodramas, like comedies, and like, let's say, family movies, where you more or less see happy German families leading a happy life. They didn't like any kind of so-called genre films like horror and science fiction. They have only one or two science fiction films in that time, and not many criminal films. If it were criminal films, usually the Jews or the British were the criminals.
Well, next question will be why, but in that last part of your answer I understood. Dakle, to će biti moje sljedeće pitanje i iz ovog posljednjeg dela razgovora sam shvatila zbog čega je to tako. Ono što također želi da kaže je to da oni nisu volili žanrovske filmove, volili su melodrame, porodične filmove, volili su filmove u kojima se prikazuje neki idilični život prosječnog Nemca, ali nikako nisu voljeli krimiće ili neke horror filmove. Ako su bili krimići, kriminalci, odnosno negativci, su uglavnom bili ili Britanci ili Jevreji. Why?
Well, the criminals, it's quite obvious why. The criminals, they did not like, for sure, they were racist, they did not like the Jews and the communists and, of course, not the British, because the British Empire, before America was entering the war, the British Empire was the toughest enemy for Germany as well. It was the country they envied the most. France as well, yes, too. But less. It has a tradition in Germany to identify much more with Britain. This is a cultural thing which we would need more time to discuss about, but in general it's about the colonies. And quite often the Nazis are telling stories from the colonies where the British are the enemy. So it's never about the Africans. The Africans are just material, where Germans and British are fighting against each other. Or you have a film which is set in South Africa, Om Krüger, where the Germans identify with the Boers, the Dutch, you can say Germanic people, which are as well the tough racists, yeah, and they identify against the British, because British Empire was the world power in that time. They had colonies all over the world. British as well was so-called internationalist. And Germans considered themselves to be very nationalist, for sure. And the internationalism was as well something, it was capitalism, which they did not like, but it was communism as well. Communists were internationalists as well. And Jewish were called to be internationalist or cosmopolitan, yeah, something like this. These, all those phrases we have to put under Marx. It's, I don't take them too serious, like the word decadent as well, which everything what they did not like was decadent. But I'm quite sure many of the people listening to us know those phrases from other periods in Serbian history as well, where sometimes the same word is used for to condemn and to mark their enemies.
Kada govorimo o neprijateljima, odnosno kada odgovaram na pitanje zbog čega nisu voljeli krimiće, odnosno zbog čega su upravo ti karakteri bili negativci, Rudiger Zuckland objašnjava kako je zapravo očigledno da su bili nacionalisti, nacionalsocijalisti, da nisu voljeli druge narode, da su specijalno mrzeli komuniste, ali su mrzeli i Engleze, koji su i pre Drugog svjetskog rata bili u stvari njihovi najveći konkurenti. Čak postoji i ta epizoda u kojoj, kada se govori o tim kolonijama engleskim, oni su, Englezi su zapravo veći neprijatelji od bilo kog drugog neprijatelja, njima su čak i Afroamerikanci samo predmeti. Englezi su najveći protivnici zato što su internacionalisti, što podrazumeva da su kapitalisti, da su komunisti i da zapravo nemaju ništa protiv Jevreja, što je nacional socijalistička Nemačka bila.
So to summon this up, I think that my film has kind of three layers. One layer is, it is a history of German filmmaking in the period of the Nazis. So it's a documentary on cinema. Second is, it is a documentary on the techniques of propaganda and of different genres of propaganda. And in that time, of course, the classic age of propaganda, the totalitarian age, but as well, and that is the third layer, I hope it is a film for today. Each film, of course, when it is a film of the time when it's made, but I wanted to do a film which has some value and some use as well for the people who are living today. It is not just like an history book, but it is a film where we all, myself maybe the most, could learn a lot about the ways propaganda is working today and about the heritage of this classical time of propaganda for our age. And I think we have today in different ways than in the Nazi period, but we are not living in a time of less propaganda. It's different propaganda.
Ono što je zanimljivo za moj film je zapravo to da je on značajan na tri nivoa. Prvi je taj znači dokumentaristički, odnosno to što taj film prikazuje jedan određeni period nemačke kinematografije od 1900 znači u periodu nacizma, zatim od 1933. do 1935. kada je proizvedeno 1000 dokumentarnih filmova. Drugi deo je taj zapravo da ja želim da pokažem kako propaganda funkcioniše, ali i želim da ovaj film zapravo povežem sa ovim današnjim vremenom kako bismo ljudima koji žive u današnjem vremenu u stvari stavili do znanja koliko se mehanizmi nisu promenili, da ta propaganda i danas funkcioniše i da na osnovu ovog filma zapravo mogu da da kažem nauče koji su to principi. Ja predlažem da sada napravimo jednu malu pauzu muzičku. Vi ste na talasima Radio Beograda 2, slušate Klub 2 koji se emituje direktno iz centra Sava u kome je u toku 46. fest. Moj današnji gost je Rudiger Zuchland, reditelj filma Hitlerov Hollywood, koji je prikazan u okviru 46. festa u programu Granice. U nastavku razgovora baš ćemo da razgovaramo o tome kako ta propaganda na nas deluje danas.
If I can reach the stars, pull one down for you, shine it on my heart, so you could see the truth. And this love I have inside.
Radio Beograd 2 60 godina kulture i umetnosti.
A samo 46 godina Međunarodnog filmskog festivala Fest. U ovom trenutku vraćamo se u Centar Sava, gde je u toku 46. fest i pres konferencija 46. festa redovna. Danas ćete u kulturnim krugovima čuti šta se sve dešavalo na pres konferenciji. A mi sada rastavljamo razgovor sa Rudigerom Zuklandom, nemačkim rediteljem, piscem, filmskim kritičarem, filozofom, čovekom koji se, kako reče na početku, bavi ovim našim poslom, odnosno mojim poslom u Nemačkoj, radi na nacionalnom radiju, ima emisije sličnog tipa. Razgovaramo o njegovom filmu Hitlerov Hollywood, koji je prikazan u programu Granice. Ja ću za naše slušalce reći da će ovaj film biti prikazan još jednom u okviru festa večeras u 22 sata u Cine Grand Kaptolu parku u Rakovici u sali 2. Vrlo interesantan film i mislim da bi ga, ja ga zaista preporučujem našim slušalcima, zato što se na jedan vrlo interesantan način bavi nemačkom kinematografijom između 1933. i 1945. kada su nastali mnogi filmovi koji su bili propaganda Nemačka, ali i mnogi umetnički filmovi koji su iznedrili neke značajne nemačke reditelje koji kao da nisu stvarali u tom Hitlerovom Hollywoodu. This period of cinematography in German made some directors which made films like they never lived in Nazi Germany.
Yeah, well, we have you mean directors like Keutner, which is
most known here, but also Gigavertov also.
No, of course, no. Keutner, of course, is an exception because Keutner he was not a Nazi and he tried to slip under the radar of propaganda. As well, we have some filmmakers who did at least ambiguous work. Even the very well-known Veit Harlan, the director of Jud Süß, who is a marvelous director, but morally and politically he is kind of a devil. And he did at least one film which can be considered as to be almost some kind of anti-Nazi film, which is Opfergang. But he did that in the year 44, so just 10 months before the end of the war. So in a way, he was, like some others, he wanted to signalize to the post-war times, I am not a Nazi. So it was an opportunist step.
Ja moram da kažem da tu ima naravno reditelja koji su radili, mislite recimo na Helmuta Keutnera, koji je zapravo najizrazitiji predstavnik takvih reditelja, odnosno autora, ali on je jasno bio nije bio nacista i zaista je želeo da proturi te neke antinacističke ideje radeći svoje filmove. Veit Harlan je takođe jedno zanimljivo ime, to je, moglo bi se reći, jedna vrsta zveri koja je pred sam kraj rata zapravo želela da sebe predstavi kao nekoga ko nije bio pristalica nacista, pa je snimio film koji bukvalno poručuje, evo ja nisam nacista, ali nije mu to vredilo, pošto je to bilo 44. godine, otprilike 10 meseci, pošto se zapravo, pre nego što se završio rat.
What is the question? Sorry.
This period želi da ponovo čuje pitanje. Dakle, this period was a period which made some directors which made films like they'd never been in Nazi Germany.
Ah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And of course, Keutner. Yeah, he wanted to shoot a kind of, let's say, melodramas, which are in the style of the French realist cinema. As well, we know we can say that we have some early post-war cinema still in the war in Germany. We have some kind of Nazi neorealism. So neorealism is the style of the Italians. But we know as well that Rossellini or Antonioni, they worked with the son of Mussolini still in fascist times. So as well in Italy, neorealism was kind of a child of the war period. And so was in Germany. We have some films, and this is quite interesting for me, we have films which show a lot of reality of the Nazi time. They show the daily life. And the daily life means ambiguity. The ambiguity is always that in the same time people have to lead a normal life and you have the war period with all the problems and the dangers, the bombing, the daily death, the reduction of nutrition and all this stuff. But in the same time, maybe they are happy because they are in love. So this is the ambiguity of a situation like this. But as well, the thing is that propaganda itself has to deal with ambiguity. I would say that propaganda is good propaganda is not telling a lie, but it is telling the truth in a certain way, in a special way. Because if propaganda is just lying, then it is doing things wrong. And it will very soon, it will be discovered that it's all a lie. But if you tell the truth, propaganda can always say, I told you so. It is just the interpretation of truth, which is the real propagandist message, which we consider as a falsification or alternative facts.
Ono što je zanimljivo, a tiče se pitanja koje se odnose na filmove koji su nastali u tom periodu, da kao da nisu nastali u nacističkoj Nemačkoj, moj sagovornik je govorio o filmovima koji mogu da budu neka vrsta nacističkog od nemačkog neorealizma u paraleli, u poređenju sa italijanskim neorealizmom, jer se zna da su neki poznati reditelji neorealizma zapravo u vreme Mussolinija učestvovali u nastanku tih filmova koji su zapravo govorili o stvarnom životu u Italiji, odnosno u Nemačkoj. Takvi su bili ovi dokumentarci o kojima je govorio moj sagovornik, u kojima se zapravo govori o jednom običnom, normalnom životu običnog čoveka u vreme okupacije. To su filmovi koji su morali sa jedne strane da govore o tome kako se živi, kako je sve normalno i kako je sve u redu, a da zapravo se taj život odvija pod znači stalnom pretnjom bombardovanja, rušenja zgrada, policijskih časova i okupacije. Ali su ti filmovi zaista vrlo realno govorili o životu u Nemačkoj tada, tako da se može govoriti da je to nekakav nemački neorealizam koji se dosta oslanjao na, recimo, francuski realizam. Pomenuo je Helmuta Keutnera, čiji su filmovi bili melodrame koje su dosta podsjećale na francuske realiste, i govorio je o tome da su ti propagandni filmovi zapravo takvi da oni ne lažu, jer dobar propagandni film u stvari govori istinu i ukazuje na neke situacije, a loš propagandni film koji laže vrlo često bude otkriven. Dobar propagandni film će vam uvek reći, vodi računa, rekao sam ti da se to dešava, i na tebi je da zaključiš, a loš propagandni film zapravo šalje poruku koja nije istinita i biva kad tad raskrinkan.
So what propaganda is doing is in a way the biggest step of propaganda cinema is to reduce the line between truth and lie, and in a way to mix reality and non-reality with each other. In a way, the Nazi cinema created an alternative reality, and it was mixing this alternative reality together with the reality in Germany. And in a way, it was to make people believe in the illusion, but you can only believe in an illusion if it has something to do with the truth. And as well, it was to bring them to cross a certain border in a moral way and in a political way. So, for instance, we have films, as I said, it's about ambiguity. We have films which are for preaching to the converted, yeah, which are to the fervent Nazis, to give them a good time, like going to church. But as well, we have films which are for the enemies of the Nazis, to bring them fear. And most of the films are for the broad society in Germany, which is not enemies of the Nazis, but as well not fervent ideologists. They're just leading a normal life, and in a way, maybe they sympathize with Hitler, or maybe they're very distant. But you have to give them offers, different offers. And we can see this very well in the different women. We have women which are married with children in Nazi cinema, as we have in the society. We have as well... women which are living alone, a bit older, in their professional life. They are having love affairs, but they are looking for a marriage. And sometimes they are quite unhappy. So we have those melodramas which are always about crying together with the unhappy women. And then we have modern young women wearing jeans, not a skirt, wearing a uniform maybe, working in modern professions like a photographer or working in a fabric or working as a singer. And those have different love affairs. They don't want to marry. They want to lead a modern life with a moral which is as well modern, yeah, to be free, not to be safe in a marriage. So the cinema is making films for all three types of women, with all three types of offers and of films for them. So we have a very broad offer, like a supermarket, different milk, and some people don't drink milk, they have other stuff to offer.
Dakle, kada govorimo o propagandnim filmovima, dobar propagandni film u stvari treba da negde ublaži tu granicu između istine i laži, odnosno... Vidimo i na osnovu, recimo, pojavljivanja ženskih likova u filmovima tog perioda. Imamo zaista tri tipa žena. To su samohrane majke, odnosno žene koje su ili ostale same, čiji su muževi otišli na front, koje same podižu decu i koje žive u skladu sa tim nekim starim načinom života. Imamo one koje žele, recimo, and second kind of women, drugi tip žena su žene koje drugi tip žena su starije žene koje zapravo nemaju svoje porodice i koje čeznu za nekakvom ljubavlju i žele da se njihove veze neuspele i brojne završe nekim brakom, i one savremene treće koje se i ne oblače kao klasično vaspitane nemice, koje nose pantalone, koje se bave nekim slobodnijim profesijama kakve su fotografske i kao recimo ili žene koje rade u fabrici, koje imaju više partnera ili ljubavnika i koje zapravo ne žele da se skrase, odnosno ne žele da osnuju porodicu. But those three kind of women, what they are telling characters, what they are telling about the society in that period, šta upravo izbor ta tri tipa žena govori u tom periodu, jer je moj sagovornik govorio o tome da su ovi filmovi zapravo namenjeni i simpatizerima nacista, ali i onima koji žive normalan život, koji nisu ni na jednoj i na drugoj strani. Naravno, treba da prikažu i Nemačku neprijateljima nemačkim, da pokažu koliko je snažna, ali široki auditorijum za ove filmove su zapravo bili obični ljudi.
Those different types of women and which are contradictory sometimes in their behavior and their morals, they are telling that even a totalitarian society like the German under the Nazis was a diverse society, and that the fascism, like every totalitarian ideology, or maybe like every political ideology, it needs to give different offers. It needs to be pragmatic. It was propaganda is coming out of advertisement industry, not about politics. The first book on propaganda was a book ready-made of how to make good advertisement. And Goebbels read it. It's an American book. And so propaganda is like selling politics, selling ideology, selling certain values, as well selling murder, selling torture, selling terror. So to do this, you need it. The citizens are like customers. You needed different offers for different parts of the society. And that is what this propaganda cinema is telling us, because it works like this exactly today.
Da, ono što je zanimljivo, to je upravo samo potvrda da je zapravo cilj propagande da vas ubedi u to što želi da plasira u taj proizvod i da je to zapravo suština ovoga. To se na kraju krajeva dešava i danas. Ono što je takođe bitno je da govori o tome da i fašistički režim, totalistički fašistički režim, kakav je bio nacizam, je morao da ponudi neke alternative da bi bio prihvaćen. Dakle, govori o tome da i toliko rigidni politički sistemi moraju da ponude neki izbor kako bi bili prihvaćeni, jer naravno, kažem, mali jedan široki broj ljudi ne pripada ni jednoj, ni drugoj, ni trećoj strani.
And as I had not just the question to ask myself what was the cinema about in this time, as well I had the question how was the mentality, the mentality of the generation of my father, who was a young boy in that time, and of my grandfather, who was his father. So I wanted to understand what did people think, especially when they were kind of civilized people, not born murderers. How could they become to be murderers, for instance? So the interesting discovery is that you can be something like a fervent fanatist, and in the same time you're quite pragmatic. If you look at Goebbels, the minister for propaganda, he was very pragmatic. He was intelligent and he knew how to do it. He was like an auteur filmmaker. That means he wanted to present in the films his personal vision of life, of values, of the Nazi regime. In a way, he invented Nazi Germany, the image, the aesthetics of it. But in the same moment, the way he did it, his techniques were quite pragmatic. He was looking at the world and he was respecting the world how it was. Because if he wants to change it, you first have to know how the world is.
Da, ono što je bio cilj kada je radio Hitlerov Hollywood, bio je taj da sazna i kako je bilo raspoloženje u tom trenutku u Nemačkoj. Naime, njegov otac je tada bio dečačić i on je zapravo imao potrebu da sazna kako je sve to zapravo funkcionisalo. U to vreme je trebalo u stvari stvoriti jedan svet koji je drugačiji. To je Goebbels radio i to je ono što je u stvari najbitnije u toj priči, da je on bio svestan da ljude koji bi trebalo da žive po određenom sistemu koji je propagirala nacistička Nemačka, zapravo prvo treba upoznati sa tim sistemom koji je izmišljen, upoznati sa vrednostima koje su prisutne u toj ideji i na taj način zapravo infiltrirati te ideje u prosjednog čoveka, zbog toga što znamo svi da je taj period, pored onih koji proizveo i neke ljude koji su bili ubice, a nisu bili rođene ubice, i prosto je pitanje koliko i kako je sve to zajedno uspelo da se primi toliko. I think that we don't have enough time in our broadcast. I hope that we have some things to talk about, because to think about, because you were talking about Nazi Germany and propaganda in that period, but we are living in world in every corner they're offering us something, not even politicians every others, and we have to know how to reject them.
Yes, of course, it is very simple. Cultural products, even when they are part of entertainment industry, they are never innocent. They are always a part of an, let's say, ideological concept. And we can see this quite easy in Hollywood cinema of today, because, of course, Hollywood cinema of today is offering a cultural imperialist vision of the American society. And as well, we can analyze the future and the kind of collective subconsciousness if we analyze movies. To give only one idea of that, we can easily analyze the idea of the billionaire in American cinema from the 80s, Wall Street and Joker in Batman movie, to today, president billionaire in power, Trump. So from Joker to Trump.
Izvinjavam se slušalcima koji ne govore engleski iz Sava centra u ime ekipe koja je realizovala današnju emisiju. Pozdravlja vas Nevena Matović.